Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com. Again, and can in no way be trusted to stop the abuses for us.
All right. We've got that's for offnow.org. You want to hear more about that.
All right, on the line, I got him. It's Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst for 27 years. He used to be the morning CIA briefer for Vice President George H.W. Bush in the 1980s. And he's one of the co-founders of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You name your foreign policy disaster, and he told you so. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Ray?
Scott, doing all right under the circumstances.
Yeah, well, so let's talk a little bit about those circumstances. You went to see St. David Petraeus, the most successful general in American history, give a talk in New York last night. Is that right?
Yeah, and I was afraid he was going to advertise that, and I noticed there was a Q&A. So I thought I might try to unadvertise it by simply asking a poignant question like, General Petraeus, you indicated many years ago, please tell me how this war ends in Iraq. And now you know, don't you? All those crackerjack troops that you trained up so well and the equipment you gave them and so forth, well, they certainly performed well when a couple of the ISIL guys started shooting AK-47s at them. The officers all got in their helicopters and went to other places, and the troops receded to the point where artillery and the rest of it was left for ISIL, and the U.S. was left in the incredibly ironic and sad position of having to attack its own armaments dedicated to the Iraqi government, lest they fall completely into the hands of ISIL. So we equipped them, we trained them real well. They ran away, literally, four divisions up there. These are the ones that Petraeus bragged about having trained. And then we were reduced to the ridiculous position of having to destroy our own weaponry, but, you know, no problem. That's real good for the military-industrial complex, so we'll just build more weapons and we'll sell it to this new crowd of these Iraqi-trained people that are there at the hand of General Allen. And one of the things I was thinking of asking Petraeus was, hey, are they going to give you a mulligan here? Are you going to get a second try? I mean, here's a no. The new crew of Iraqis. Now, how do they expect a different result this time? So anyhow, there were questions that I didn't think the nice crowd at the 92nd Street Y would ask. I thought that it would be good for someone to ask an intelligent question, a question that might hold this guy accountable for, well, for the untold suffering, untold killing in the hundreds of thousands, including the various surges in Iraq and Afghanistan, a question that would bring the crowd back to reality that he would have to answer in a similar way as the questions I asked Rumsfeld when I had that unique opportunity to debate him for 4 minutes in Atlanta back in 2006. Maybe it was that example that persuaded Petraeus and or the 92nd Street Y to make sure if McGovern was spotted on the steps trying to get in, don't let him in. For God's sake, don't let Petraeus be asked any real questions. And so I was intercepted, and the cops were called, and I was nursing a really bruised left shoulder, and when they tried to put the cuffs on me behind my back, well, suffice it to say, it was excruciating pain. I screamed like bloody murder because it hurt that much. And so they ended up putting a chain, mind you, a chain of handcuffs on me because there's no way that they could make my left wrist meet my right in the setting of one handcuff. So,
well, let me ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that they didn't handcuff your hands behind your back, or they relented and they let you have a longer
chain? No, you know the rules. They had us follow the rules. What I'm saying is that they could not possibly connect my left wrist to my right with just one set of handcuffs. ended up doing a chain of them so that linked together, both wrists could be immobilized. But an acknowledgement there simply that there was no way to get that left shoulder to bend far enough without me screaming my head off to get both wrists in one handcuff. So and that's in their records, of course. And
well, and it's a slight mercy in the midst of a giant outrage. And of course, they ended up hurting anyway, as you said. And as it's reported that you were crying out in pain on the scene and later at the jail as well.
Well, at the jail, let's see. Well, I took the hospital there, NYU Cornell Hospital, and x-rayed the left shoulder. Luckily, there are no breaks or fractures, but the cup, the rotator cuff and all that stuff can be really, really painful, and that's what it was. It's got a sling on it now, so Ende gut, alles gut, as the Germans say. All's well that ends well. And, when I think over something like this, a major action that I really didn't expect, I have this notion that this is at work here and that some good might come out of this. And maybe this is part of it, because Petraeus should not be allowed to hide behind medals and his his Boy Scout ribbons and his merit badges, 10 rows of them, you remember them. Yeah. And he should be exposed for what criminally was. One of the things in just preparing what I knew about Petraeus.
Very quickly.
Was the fact that he went out after the Abu Ghraib scandal, after General Taguba had made his investigation in June of 2004 with instructions from Donald Rumsfeld. If the Iraqis are torturing one another, that's no problem. You don't have to report that. Just tell the Americans, please, knock off the torture.
Hey, and by the way, Ray, would it be okay if I interview you for half an hour tomorrow? We could go over all of Petraeus' legacy, the real point here, and talk a little about your shoulder, too.
Yeah, it has to be more than half an hour.
we're gonna have to all both talk really fast. All right, we'll be right back, everybody, with Antonio Bueller in just a sec. Thanks, Ray.
Great.
Hey, all, Scott Horton here. I want to tell you about this great new book, Livin' La Vida Baroka, American Culture in an Age of Imperial Orthodoxies by Thomas Harrington. While he comes from the left, Harrington has little time for much of what is passed off under that label today. Like us libertarians, he puts peace and freedom first. The book's got great essays on American fascism, empire, the Israeli occupation, the left and Obama, liberalism and the state, and some interesting lessons from the history of Imperial Spain. Livin' La Vida Baroka by Thomas Harrington. Check it out at scotthorton.org/books or scotthorton.org/Amazon.